A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 461. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Dracula. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This is another adaptation of the Bram Stoker classic. This one is from Granada Television for BBC Wales and for WGBH. PBS Boston from 2006. And it is a 90-minute one-off TV movie.
And it mixes some classic gothic horrors, as you might expect from Dracula, with perhaps some newer commentary, particularly on the subject of infection, but also maybe some stuff about invasion and some other panics in there as well. And it's a fairly sexy show as well, or a very sexy version of Dracula. And of course, it's also, as these episodes are going out, Brian, it's October and we like to turn to something slightly spooky.
Absolutely. And Dracula is a nice fit for that.
Absolutely, indeed. So let's get to the setup of this version of the classic. Everything seems to be going very well in the life of Lord Arthur Holmwood, who is getting ready for his forthcoming marriage to Lucy Westenra. It all seems to be going swimmingly, Brian.
Yes, it does. But Holmwood is summoned to his father's deathbed and learns about an inherited illness which threatens his relationship with Lucy. And Arthur Holmwood seeks a cure by turning to this strange occult group known as the Brotherhood and learns that a strange European count may hold the answer.
But in order to get this answer, he may need to make a deal with the most dangerous man in Europe, it seems. Those are the sort of starting premises for this adaptation. You'll probably already notice that we're slightly off the normal Dracula.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. But let's go through the characters. We have Arthur Holmwood, played by Dan Stevens. I think before he went on to fame in Downton Abbey and many other film and television since. Arthur Holmwood is a young nobleman who seems to have everything, that the fortune, the big house, and the beautiful fiancé. But his future is threatened by this congenital illness. Congenital syphilis is what he discovers.
Yes, and this is, of course, what impacts that relationship with his forthcoming marriage. Lucy Westerna is played by Sophia Miles, who we remember from Doctor Who, The Girl in the Fireplace, from about the same time as this, and also as Lady Penelope in the live-action Thunderbirds from just a couple years earlier. She is a beautiful and charming young woman who will draw some unwanted attention from the title character, from Dracula himself.
Of course. Now, we've also got Dr. John Seward, played by Tom Burke, who you might have seen recently in the Mad Max Furiosa movie. He is a successful young doctor. He's a childhood friend of Lucy's. His medical skills are going to become very important once she falls ill. And he'll also be involved in various other bits and pieces as the plot develops. So an important character.
Yes, absolutely. And then, of course, we have Jonathan Harker, played by Rafe Spall from Black Mirror and War of the Worlds and Harry Price Ghost Hunter. He is a young lawyer who Lord Holmwood sends to Transylvania to secure property deals with the mysterious Count Dracula.
And he has also got his own fiancée, Mina Murray, played by Stephanie Leonidas. She is, as I've said, Jonathan Harker's fiance. She becomes very distressed and raises the alarm when he does not return from Transylvania as he was supposed to do. she's sort of the one pushing the panic buttons earlier on, but she'll also be important later on when we are going to get into a bit of a vampire hunt as one of the hunters.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of vampire hunters, we have Abraham Van Helsing, played by David Suchet, who is probably best known for Poirot, but has been in lots of things, and we've seen him once or twice in British Invaders, and he's been on Doctor Who as well. This is something of a different take on Van Helsing, an expert who was employed by the Brotherhood and then imprisoned by Dracula, but soon comes to the fore as this vampire hunter who helps out the central characters.
And of course, he's helping the central characters against his great opponent, the title character. We have Mark Warren playing Dracula. Now, we first see him in his sort of elderly, frail form until Jonathan Harker's blood reinvigorates him to his young, youthful, sexy prime. And, of course, we've seen Mark Warren crop up playing bad guys in a couple of British Invaders shows. He was the assassin Mr. Tea Time in Terry Pratchett's Hogfather. And we've very recently seen him as the extremely sinister gentleman in Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. He's sort of, if you want otherworldly menace and villainy, Mark Warren's pretty good at it.
He is very good at being menacing. Also menacing in his own way, the leader of the Brotherhood is played by Donald Sumpter, who has a long acting career. He was in classic Doctor Who in the 60s with Wheel in Space, and in the Sea Devils in the early 70s. Also played the president of Gallifrey in Doctor Who Hellbent in 2015. We saw him in Being Human and in Black Mirror. He was also in Game of Thrones. So really quite an accomplished actor, and lovely to see him in here.
And whenever you see Donald Sumpter on screen, you know you're going to get good stuff, don't you, Ryan?
Yes. So Lucy and Arthur get married, but she is growing frustrated that he seems unwilling to consummate the marriage. And we know that this is because he wants to cure the syphilis beforehand so he won't infect her, but he doesn't share this information with her. And she is also consoling her friend Mina because Jonathan Harker has gone missing.
Yes, and this is where we start to get some of the classic elements from the Dracula story, because Harker is missing. A strange ship arrives at Whitby with a peculiar cargo and a story of murders on board. And then there's an alluring and very strange young man who is introducing himself to Lucy and Mina, I think on the cliffs above Whitby. And we sort of recognise what's going on here. And of course, Arthur Homewood is beginning to realise he has made a deal with the almost literal devil. And when his wife, Lucy, falls very ill, he has to call in their friend, Dr. Seward, for help. So some of the classic elements starting to appear in this story. We've mentioned already that this is a sort of slightly sexed up version of Dracula, although sex in vampire stories, as you pointed out off mic, Brian, is nothing particularly unusual, is it?
No, it isn't. But in this case, it's a quite sexualized version of the story, and certainly of the character as well.
Yes. So we should say that Dracula's visits to the bedroom of Lucy are portrayed in quite a sexy fashion.
Yes. So we should get into our production notes. This is the third time we are covering an adaptation of Bram Stoker's 1897 novel, Dracula. We saw Denham Elliot in the role in an episode of ITV's Mystery and Imagination from 1968 that had sort of almost TV movie style episodes. And then we saw Louis Jourdain playing the character in the BBC's Count Dracula from 1977, which is sometimes considered one of the most faithful adaptations of the novel. And you can find our discussions about those adaptations on our website if you type Dracula in the search box there on BritishInvaders.com.
That's where to find them and all of our episodes, even the ones that are no longer in the podcatchers. And, of course, we should say there are absolutely no shortage of versions of Dracula, a character who rivals Sherlock Holmes for the most depictions on screen. I always forget, Brian, I think Sherlock Holmes has been played on screen slightly more than Count Dracula.
I think that may actually change from time to time. I think it's close enough that sometimes one pulls ahead, but I'm not entirely certain.
They're jockeying for position.
I guess so.
I mean, this is 2006, this version on the BBC, and I note from IMDb that there were at least three other screen versions of Count Dracula in 2006 alone. So, as ever, the titular vampire was having a very busy year.
Indeed.
Now, this show was a co-production, as we've said, between Granada TV, BBC Wales, and WGBH Boston for PBS in America. I'll notice that the exec producer for the BBC was none other than Julie Gardner, who has become a very sort of familiar name from the new Doctor Who for us here on British television. And here she is, at about the same sort of time, I guess, working on this adaptation of Dracula.
Yes, that's right. The adaptation was written by British TV writer Stuart Harcourt, and it was directed by an American TV director, Bill Eagles, which is a fairly common approach for co-productions that you have some crew members from one country and some from the other. It is interesting that you have both Granada, usually associated with ITV, and also the BBC involved in this. It was shot on locations in the west of England, in Somerset, Gloucestershire, and Herefordshire. And one of the locations was Eastnor Castle, which stands in for Lord Holmwood's country mansion. It's also been seen recently in Succession, actually, but we remember it from being in Box of Delights back in the 80s.
Another one of the classics.
Yes, indeed.
Original music for this BBC film was composed by Dominic Scherer. I don't remember watching this when it first came out, but I do remember the trailer, which famously used the David Bowie song Warsawa from his Low album. And of course, the trailer, I think, emphasized the young and very sexy cast and sort of played up that aspect of it.
Is that why you didn't watch the show?
Goodness, possibly. Maybe turned off by the heavily emphasis on sex, yeah.
Dracula was first broadcast on BBC One on December 28th, 2006, and it was then broadcast as part of the Masterpiece Theatre series on PBS on February 11th, 2007. And I recall I did see that PBS broadcast at the time.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So let's talk about the availability. In Region 2, the BBC released a DVD in 2007. It's just got this film, no extras on there at all. It's currently going for a slightly pricey £21, but secondhand copies, I notice, are plentiful and quite cheap. It doesn't appear to be streaming, and it's not on Cinema Paradiso, the rental site, at the moment, as far as I can tell. However, the DVD is still in print, and you can get it over here. Across the water in Region 1, Brian?
In Region 1, there is a DVD release. It's a Masterpiece Theatre DVD, currently selling for $30 US, so also a little bit on the pricey side.
Okay, I guess we usually note at this point the Dracula, the novel, widely available, Brian.
Yes, that is certainly something you can find if you're looking for it.
So, next time, we're going to talk a little bit more about the plot as the vampire hunters start to close in on the Count, and we want to discuss some of the differences, some of the new elements introduced into this version of the Dracula legend. But of course, we'll get to our own reviews and recommendations of this 2006 TV film.
Yes, there is plenty to say about this one and the differences between the novel and more traditional versions and what we have here. Until then, you can find all of our 460-some episodes at BritishInvaders.com. Vampires in a few of those. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. We are also on Threads and Instagram. We are British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms. So please come and join the conversation on our socials.
Absolutely. Please give us a follow. And please come and join the conversation at the Voice of Geeks Network, which you'll find at vognetwork.com. British Invaders is one of the podcasts there. There's gaming content, streaming, lots of stuff going on at the Voice of Geeks.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.